This week's shiurim have been sponsored Le'ilu Nishmas Reb Chaim Aaron ben Reb Shmuel Zecher Levracha. Kof Vov Adar, Kof Hey Adar, Thursday the 7th of March, Bari Doniel Rowe, the Haggadah Part 2, Arami Oved Ovi, Decreation or Recreation?
Or an Ori, an and, or whatever. Okay, let's actually now move. Last time we covered the opening of the Haggadah, and we saw the opening of the Haggadah is essentially designed to reconstruct ourselves a little bit. It's designed on one level of opening us up to becoming questioners and to deepen that sense of questioning. And it's oriented around the Pasuk of Vigadat HaLevincha. And then we begin the Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayavaseinu V'Achshav Kevanu Makom L'Avodasai. That in the beginning our ancestors were idol worshippers and now we came close to Hashem. And from this part of our God is the second thing that the Gemara says is Masel Begunos Masayim B'Shvach, goes back into the negative, if you like, and then moves up to the positive. And in fact, in many ways, really, you see in the Rambam, this is not what I'm going to go through now, but you'll see that it's really already the introduction. This, in fact, is already a commentary on Arami Oved Ovi. Then if you're Arami Oved Ovi, there are two named Pshatim, what the words actually mean, Arami Oved Ovi. The Medrash, which, in fact, the Haggadah brings, and most Rishonim bring, is that Lavan afflicted Yaakov. The Ibn Ezra brings a different Malach, which is a lost Arami was my ancestor, which means Avraham Avinu, and that's relating straight back to the bit that we say right over here. But either way, this bit is already the introduction to what's going to be the core of the Haggadah, the four Psukim from Parashas Kisavoy. The Psukim that we actually said in the times of we used to say with the Bikurim, that the Psukim of when we say Gadati Ayoim, and then we actually say Arami Oved Ovi, all those four Psukim. But before then, Mitchila Oved Oved Zara. And we have to ask ourselves the question, why are we going backwards to, why are we doing this? What is the important part in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim of starting with the fact that originally Terach was an Oved Oved Zara, and therefore Avraham Avinu was born in such a home? What has that got to do with our story? So, the Dubna Magid actually brings this point out, because there's an obvious question that one could ask on the whole of Leila Seder, and the purpose, the drive, the Haggadah eventually gets to the point of us being Moida and Mehalel to Hashem, which is what we always do when we get saved from any situation. But the Haggadah's got an obvious question one could ask on all of that Mahalach, which is, it's very nice to thank Hashem for taking us out of the problems of Shibud Mitzrayim, but who put us in there in the first place? Right? After all, we were placed in Shibud Mitzrayim as Hashem promised Avraham Avinu we would be. So therefore what we have to do is take a step much further back and recontextualize the entire story of Yetzias Mitzrayim as a part of a much larger story, which goes all the way back to the days of Terach, and all the way back to the problems of us being pagans that Hashem had to pull us out of. And developing the way the Ramchal actually puts this, that really speaking what happens is Avraham and Sarah, they create the first generation of what you might call proto-Yisrael. This thing could become Yisrael. But as we say in the Psukim from Yeshua, Avraham had lots of children, but there's only one who followed his pathway, and that's Yitzchak. And then the next door comes along, and Yitzchak has Yaakov and Esav, and even then, it's not complete. And finally, it's Yaakov Uvonov, it's only Yaakov and his children, where you now have the possibility, the Chuta Meshulash, that third step, where now it can become a permanent status, and that's what we can now call Yisrael, and that is now created. But that's not the end of the story. Yaakov's whole family may stay within this pathway generated by Avraham. That's step three, but there's a fourth step which is needed, and that is Yaakov Avon of Yoredu Mitzrayim, and they have to go down into Mitzrayim. Why do we have to go down into Mitzrayim? So the next thing that God says is, Baruch Shem Atochosel Yisrael, Baruch Husha, Kodesh Baruch Hishav Esakeitz. Last, we remember that Hashem, this whole thing was part of this plan of the Bris Bein Absarim. But when he says to Avraham, Yodah Teidaki, Geri Azarach, Aparetz Loi Lahem, Ve'avodum, Ve'inu Eitzam, Arba Me'ashon, Ve'gam Asakoy, Ashe Avoid Adon, Anoich, Ve'achrei Chen Yitzim, Bechush Gadol. Hashem promised Avraham that we're going to go into Mitzrayim. This was an important part of the plan, and it's that which is Omdol Avaseinu Velonu, right? It's actually this that has guaranteed the permanence of Klal Yisrael. So this Haggadah is doing a lot of interesting things, and we have to put all these things together. Let's start by taking a look back in Parashas Lech Lecha at the Psukim that the Haggadah is drawing our attention to. It's Achadvar Ma'ila, after the whole story of Avram going to Eretz Canaan, going down to Mitzrayim, rescuing Lot. So he's got the things that Hashem promised at the beginning, and that he's got his wealth and he's got his name, but he hasn't got his greatness yet, the Esol Goy Gadol. So now Hashem appears to him and says, you know, I'm going to shield you, everything's going to be great. And Avram says to him, he says, right, I don't have children. And he says again, Lo nasata zera, you haven't given me children. You know, Ben Beis Yerusha, it's going to be Eliezer who's going to inherit him. And Hashem says no. He says, takes him outside. Look up at the heavens. Can you count the stars? That's your children. Now this alone is not a clear. There's questions we can ask on this. Obviously, what is the meaning of this particular conversation? Why is Avram questioning Hashem's original promise that there's going to be children? What is going on over here? And how does being Moitzi Yosar Chutza answer that question? But then it gets, at least we say, V'hemin Ba'ashami Yachshavela Et Stoka, there was a Munah, and that was called Stoka. And then comes even more difficult. V'yomel Avaniyesh Hashem Ashehot Tzisicha Merukastim, Loseslach Esa Oretz Azaz Lurishlam. I'm going to give you this land as an inheritance. And he says, V'yomel Hashem Elokim, Bamo Eda Akira Shano. How do I know I'm going to inherit this land? And at first sight, this is a very strange question. What more proof could you have than that Ribbono Shel Olam tells you? What else could you have? What, you'd get transported in a time machine and see it, and so what? Why would that be any more reliable? Maybe that's also a fake. What's the question mean? And then what happens is, she says, okay, you take the Eglon Meshaleshes, the Eiz Meshaleshes, we have all these animals that are then split, and you have to walk between. Now, the Brisbane Absarim, and he says, V'yemel Avram, Yadoa Teda, you will surely know, he Geria Zarach HaBaretz Lo Lahem, because they're going to be sojourning strangers in a land that is not theirs, but Avadum, enslaved, Inoy Sam afflicted, Arba Meish Shana 400 years, V'gam, and the Pesukim that we say in that Godot. And that seems to be the end of the discussion. How does that exactly answer the question? So how do I know? Because I'll tell you more things. Oh, I could ask Bamo'ed that as well. And even if you do, what's one got to do with the other? So Rashi says, we'll see how much this we can answer. Let's first of all point out that the whole question of Avram's Hemshech in the world, we do discover Avram has a real question. When he says in the beginning he doesn't believe he's going to have children, he's of course correct in that Avram, right, as Chazal bring, Avram won't have children, Avraham will. Right? Rashi brings the Chazal that say, Avram was using astrology. He could understand the alignment of the universe and therefore the apparent deployment of the spiritual forces that were there. And he understood that Hashem had built a world such that he cannot have a child. It's not possible to have a child. And so he's saying to Hashem, even if you told me you have a child, but you've also built a world so you've made it I can't have a child. And not even just physically, but also in the Ruchnius world, you've instructed that I can't have a child. And he tells him, he pulls him outside, he pulls him above the Koichov and the Mazolis, above the world of the stars, of the constellations, of the astrological phenomena that reflect the spiritual world, above all these systems, Koye Zaracha, that's how you're going to have children. Because you're right that within the natural, and even the spiritual world, you have no possibility of existence. But there's a place higher than all of that. Koi. This Koi Yezarecha, which later becomes, right, we have the same Lashon in Akedah, that this is how you're going to have children in a way that is beyond all the normal limits and all the systems and all the rules. Your existence will come from a place that is higher than that. And this will happen properly in Mitzrayim. But let's work out how this goes. But before then, let's carry on. But how do I know I will be Yorish the land? Why not believe Hashem? Says Rashi, Shema Yigro Machit. Because it's always possible for there to be a chait that will get in the way. What is the meaning of this? So the Maharal explains it. Because you can't promise me the only thing you're not, that Hashem allows us in this world, Hakol B'deshamayim Chutz Mirashamayim, is our free will. And the rights to Eretz Yisrael, the Oretz Asher Areka, is always dependent upon free will. And therefore, how can you promise me that my children will inherit this, that it will be genuinely theirs? How can you promise that unless you can promise they won't have free will? Otherwise, surely Shema Yigrei Machet, it's possible for them to lose their right to Eretz Yisrael. That's the question. That's already a very powerful question. But how is it possible for me to know that they're going to succeed in their Bechira when that's not a possible thing? And on that he says that he shows him that Bris Bein Absorim, which is a model of the Korbonos. And what is the meaning? The Rashi actually brings two different Malchim. One is that it could be the Korbonos, and the other is that it also, because these are the animals of the Korbonos, and it also symbolizes the different exiles that Klal Yisrael were going to. But the Maharal focuses on the Korbonos, and he says as follows. He says, you're right, there might be Chet in the future. In fact, there will be. But watch what happens. When Chet comes along, we can eliminate Chet. How can we eliminate? We can perform an operation that removes it from the world. How do we do this with Korbonos? How does this work? So we know that first thing you have to do is tshuva. And after tshuva, Hashem is soleach and moichel. He forgives and he can let things go. And then there's another problem, which is every time a person does something wrong in this world, there is actually real existence of evil. There's a metzias of ra that is built into the world that has to be eradicated. It has to be operated on and removed. But the problem is this. The source of that evil is our very own free will. And the extent to which it's our free will means to remove the evil means to remove the free will. Right? You can perform an operation on a part of the body. You could actually remove something that's bad. And if Chas v'Shalom, a whole Eva is damaged and destroyed, you can amputate it. Save the rest of the body. But you cannot amputate a vital organ without replacing it. Right? You can't just remove a heart and have the body walk around. You have to replace it. There has to be a heart in there. So if the very creation of, if you want to eradicate that Avera from its root, you're going to have to destroy our free will. You're going to have to rip away a part of who we are, and that, therefore, you'll never exist. Says the Maharal, but he's showing him, yes, I can. Hashem says, I will be able to hack away the evil and keep your children alive. How? Because there's going to be a pure kernel of good that will never be contaminated. And because that pure inner good won't be contaminated, even if chait happens, we can always chop it off, and we will never destroy the pure inner rotzen, the pure inner will, the pure inner goodness that is there. Now, this may not always be the case on the individual level, but on the national level, that will always be the case. Some, we may lose some parts of Yisrael, but the essence, the thing called Yisrael, will never be able to be destroyed. Its connection to Hashem is never going to be able to be completely severed, and so will always remain forever. And if there'll be chait, we'll destroy the chait. Instead of the human, we'll destroy the animal. We'll bring a carbon and we'll eliminate the evil, and we will not be eliminating them. Although the Maharal doesn't say this, Lechora, this then goes to the next Pratim Rashi. If Chas v'Shalom that doesn't work, they can always go to Golos. And in Golos there can be a lot of thrashing around, a lot of stuff, but that will never, Klal Yisrael as an entity will always remain. And therefore, but where is that going to exist? This is what he wants to tell Avram, that what's going to happen is there's going to be something you don't realize what you are, or what at least your children are going to be. There's going to be something so pure and so perfect that yes, there can be bad, but the inner core of good can't be damaged. Where is that going to happen? How is that going to happen? That's going to happen in the Shibud in Mitzrayim and coming out the other side. Coming out the other side. Going into Mitzrayim and coming out the other side is going to create this entity. It's going to deconstruct, it's going to remove lots of other things, and what will be left is this pure new creation that will be Klal Yisrael. And this creation will be something so attached to Hashem that it cannot actually ever let go. And that is what this is what the Haggadah now draws our attention to. The whole story of Mitzrayim is a part of the Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah. We were originally part of this world. But the Kervona Makom L'Avodaso was step one Avram, then Yitzhak, then Yaakov Avon of Yordu Mitzrayimah, and coming out the other end that generates this thing that he promised in the Bris Bein Absorim that is now an indelible part of the essence of this thing called Yisrael, is its relationship with Hashem. There is something that cannot ever be removed, cannot ever be contaminated, and cannot ever be destroyed. And this therefore guarantees our survival in every single generation. People sometimes read, there's a lot of very deep pshatim, of course, on what the word vehi means, but it's pshat is just going straight back to the paragraph before. And therefore, we have to view the whole of Mitzrayim as a part of the process of creating this entity. And then what we do is we literally go, tzeil mad, let's go straight into the psukim. Now let's go and learn this principle, right? I mean, that in every generation there's been an attempt to destroy us, but there's this thread that can't be removed. We actually learn it all the way back from the pathway into Mitzrayim, Arami Ovidovi, the psukim that we say in Parashas Kisavo. So now that we've contextualized the whole story like this, now we look at these psukim. And what's interesting is actually, again, we say them in Parashas Kisavo, the psukim that we say when we bring the Bikurim, the first fruit to Yerushalayim, and we say Arami, we have to Vanisa Vamarta, we declare that the words that we use, of course, are words that we use in the Haggadah. Higadati Hayoim, I'm doing Haggadah today. And Vanisa Vamarta, you declare and say, which is Lechem Oini, Lechem Sha'oni, Olo Dvarim Harbi. Okay, and you say to Pnashon, Arami Ovidavi, Vayered Mitzrayma, and Aramean afflicted my father, he went down to Egypt. By the way, what is the link between Lavan afflicting Yaakov and Yaakov going down to Mitzrayim? That's a. What is this? I'll tell you that there's a few different pshatim on this, but the simplest I think is just this, is Lavan's attempt to create problems ended up with Yaakov being split into two. Because it was because Lavan put Leah instead of Rachel, he had all his cheshbonis to build his family, instead of letting Yaakov build his, that created the fact that Yaakov had to have, instead of one relationship that would produce one proper family of Yichud, he ended up with Pirud, with split, with two, and it was that that produced the jealousies, on a simple level, that ended up with Mechiras Yosef, that ended up with Yaakov Avon of Yardim Mitzrayim. Be that as it may, we have Arami Ovidavi, whatever exactly it means, somehow then comes Vayir Mitzrayim, Vayogosham Seimat, Visham Nagoy Godlots and Varov, and the Haggadah's Dorish this to mean we moved from being Shivim Nofesh, 70 individuals, into a nation that was growing, and a nation also we used on the word Rav, we Dorish that it means some kind of maturing, as if we're now getting ready for a relationship with Hashem. There's movement, there's a change taking place in Mitzrayim. But then we say, we got into this terrible situation. And this is exactly what had to happen in Mitzrayim. This is also a part of the whole Mitzrayim story. Because what happened in this affliction, in this avdus, is that removed from us was the capacity to actually exist as a nation. Was not a possibility that a nation will emerge from another, for the very simple reason. There was no such thing as a slave nation back then, becoming a free nation and leaving and becoming anything else. Either the slave nation stays slaves until the empire eventually collapsed, or they fizzled out and became free and became part of the regular citizen group of that state that was the empire that was on top of them. Or even if they did emerge, they just emerged like a people, like the people who had been oppressing them. There was never going to be this new independent group called Yisrael in the world. Physically, it was not possible for Klal Yisrael to exist anymore. And because of the Avdus and the Shibud literally we were serving, and when you serve, it means you attach yourself, whether you intend to or not, to the world view of those who are oppressing you. Klal Yisrael also reached a situation where they were spiritually unable to exist. We know the concept, they were the Memtesh Shari Tumah, they were on the 49th level of Tumah. The Gemara, in fact, tells us that a week later, when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, the Malachim didn't know how to split the sea, because Halala Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Halala Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they're on the same Madrega. And what's that mean? They're already a week later, Dan Korban Pesach, it's an amazing, right? Chazal are telling us something unbelievable, and what does it mean a Malach argues with Hashem anyway? But the Pshuta is this, that the Malach is like a bit of spiritual programming, if you like. It knows what, you know, it's got certain functions it can perform. And so Hashem says, okay, we're now going to do split the sea, we're going to let the good ones through and the bad ones are going to stay on the other side. And the Malach says, but we can't detect, we can't find these people, who's the good, who's the bad. We can't, there is no difference. There was no measurable difference in the Inner Olam, which is an amazing thing, because every mitzvah generates a Malach. So apparently even Korban Pesach had not done enough to shift the scale in the according to that Chazal, that's an amazing thing. They were still Halala Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Halala Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So what's going on? Amazing. So physically we had no chance of existing, and spiritually we had no chance of existing, not according to the spiritual laws. You're going to ask, okay, it says the Melavet Shoyim Tzion of Sham, they were outstanding there. According to most Chazals, that means they were culturally distinct, which is a zchus. They knew there's something different about them, but it hadn't manifested in mitzvahs. There are one or two midrashim that are choylik on that and give zchus to midrashim, to mitzvahs, but by and large, even zchus of Shevet Levi doesn't seem to have done enough here. Broadly speaking, Yisrael won Memtesh Shari Tumah, as a whole at least, and therefore had no chance physically or spiritually of emerging from Mitzrayim. And when that happens, there's no. It's like you've taken the seed, thrown it in the ground, and the entire seed has decomposed. There is nothing left that could allow it to stay Mekuyim in the world to exist, except just then that pure little genetic material. There's some pure little genetic equivalent of a soul, if you like, somewhere deep inside, that is the only hope Yisrael have. And that's Vanitzak El Hashem Elokei Avoseinu. There's a tzaokah, there's a cry, when all else, there is an ability to cry all the way back to the one thing that is above all the physical laws, and the laws of nature and history, and all the spiritual laws, and the malachim, and the systems, and the rules, above all of that, is to be Vanitzak El Hashem, because we have that cry from Avoseinu, from our ancestors. The capacity to do that. That comes to the fore in Mitzrayim. He feels that he comes because of this terrible shibud. So now, Hashem is going to come and save us. And the point of this is as follows. When that sa'okah happens, when that cry happens, what it means is that Klal Yisrael will now are going to ask for their existence to be dependent on one thing and one thing only, and that's the relationship with Hashem. Up until now, if you ask, what does Chus of Avraham, what rights does Avraham have to exist? Well, he's got a relationship with Hashem. He's also got lots of zchuyos that the Malachim could recognize. He's also got a lot of physical power. And therefore, you could, you know, a sort of social anthropologist could come along and say, yeah, we think he's going to survive. But from now onwards, all that's been stripped away. There is nothing else. Not physically or not spiritually, there's only the Dveikus Hashem. Yisrael is going to be recreated as a function of their relationship with Hashem and nothing else. And that's what takes place in Mitzrayim. It's like everything else has been stripped away, there's only one thing left. And what that means is that what will emerge from Mitzrayim is not like every other nation plus having Torah and Mitzvahs. No, it means that Yisrael cannot anymore function like any other nation in the world. We actually can no longer live in the natural world. As Avraham Avinu, the truth will be told, was already shown in Seimitz Daganina Shachar, the natural world doesn't really have a place for you. But this becomes powerfully manifest and becomes ingrained in the whole process of Shibud Mitzrayim. There is no longer a place for you on planet Earth. Nature does not allow you to exist. And Yetzias Mitzrayim is, but Dveikus Barshan does. And therefore, and this is what Hashem tells Avraham. And once that happens, then it will be impossible for them to ever let go of that. Klal Yisrael, a new entity will exist that operates under different laws and rules, and it is this that we are trying to move back towards in the Haggadah. And in fact, this is why all the questions that are asked all year round have to come to Seder night, because this is the yesod of anything that is an answer. It is this reason why anyone who says Lochem v'lo Eloi is called Rosha and is called Kofa Be'ika on Leila Seder. Because if you're not mechubah to this entity of Yisrael, we would never have made it out of Mitzrayim. It's this thing called Yisrael that is now what we're trying to aim to relive. The moment of Yetzias Mitzrayim that we're trying to relive on Seder night. The moment when we lost everything else and had only one. And that is our Zchuskim. And then comes this final pasuk of the or at least the final one that we quote in the Haggadah, which is Vayetzien Hashem in Mitzrayim biyot chazaka uvizuray natuya uvamayra gadol uvaisus of Moshe. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim with this strong hand and this outstretched arm and these awesome frighteningness and these signs and these wonders. And we're doirish exactly that. And even though Malach, it was Hashem, there wasn't a Malach. Yes, there was a Malach Hamavis, but the Malach Hamavis couldn't do the selection. It couldn't see who's Yisrael and who's Mitzrayim. Only Hashem could do that. Because our Zchus was not measurable on any scale. You see, pure Dveikus B'Hashem on an inner level is even before there's a Maisa, even before it's come out in the world of mitzvahs, which the Malachim can detect. Higher than that is an inner pure core that is above everything. And that the Malachim themselves couldn't feel, they couldn't know, they couldn't detect, they couldn't see it. But here comes the most interesting thing of all. We're doirish this pasuk in two different ways in the Haggadah. The first drasha we say is Yod Chazaka, is Deva. The strong hand of Hashem is called the Makas Deva. The Zeroy Natuya, that's Cherev, that's Makas Bechoros, right? So that we go through each thing, the matter, the dom, the different things, dom ve'eshu simas ashen. We have all these things going on there. And then we say dovo acher, and this is quite amazing, because if you ask anybody to explain where we get the esemakos, they suddenly appear in the middle of the Haggadah, they pop out. Where exactly? They come from this pasuk, of course. But whatever. But if you ask lots of people, not everyone's aware of this. It's like so sort of just kilach hayad. Suddenly they pop out. But dava acha biyad chazak hashtayim zrayna to yashtayim moygadol shtayim oisim shtayim moisim shtayim. What does this mean? Eilu asa makasheva kadosh baruch hu mitzvah mitzvayim eilu ein don tzvadekin. Where did this exactly emerge? So it's interesting. Yod Chazaka, so Yad of Hashem means one aspect of revelation of Hashem. Remember, right? Yod Chazaka, Chazaka is a, giving it an adjective is another aspect. It's not just the Yad of Hashem, one aspect of revelation, but it's Chazaka, it's a second aspect of revelation. That's two different aspects. Zeroya and Natuya, same principle. Zeroya is another aspect of revelation of Hashem, but it's stretched out. It's Natuya. It's another one. That's the fourth one. Ois, ois, right? A Moira, Godel, right? Moira is another aspect, frighteningness. Godel, tremendous. So that's in the sixth aspect. Then ois, ois, signs, plural. That's two more. Mosin, wonders, plural. So there's a hinted in this pasuk of the 10 different dimensions of revelation of Hashem. Oh, that's the 10 makos. And you wonder, what, there was no psukim in the whole of Torah that spoke about 10 makos that we had to squeeze a drasha out of our Ami Ovidavi? What's going on with this? Why? Well, that God wants to tell us 10 makos, we have to learn our Ami Ovidavi, we have to like fight and fiddle, and like it's a dovo acha, it's not even the first drasha that we give. There's so many other pshutish on mikra. Why are we, what, if we want to prove there were 10 makos in Mitzrayim, why are we using, what's going on over here? So there's an obvious yesod that we use all the time. Rav Aaron Kollis spells out explicitly, but it's a powerfully said in all pshat drush, is that the pshutish mikra tells you what is the primary message, and the drusha tells you, right, what is sort of on the subconscious level, if you like. Obviously, in Mitzrayim, there were 10 makos. But had we brought the psukim from Parshas Boy, let's say, Vayiram Boy, so there's many lessons you can learn from 10 makos. There are many. One is that bad people get punished. Right, one is that justice gets done. There's many different messages. The bad people get smashed up. The Balagoda doesn't want us to focus on those messages. They're not the messages that are relevant to say the night. What's relevant to say the night is one message, and that's what's explicit in the pasuk over here. However you learn the pasuk and however you doirish it, one thing you cannot deny, this is the most incredible, glowing revelation of the Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. There's Yod Chazaka, there's Zeroya Natuya. So Yod Chazaka is the Deva, because the hand of Hashem is the fifth Makkah. So that's Deva, and the Zeroya Natuya might be the tenth Makkah. However you're going to be, that's Makkah's Bechus. But the Pshutish HaMikra is, there was revelation of Hashem. Hashem came in, Bechvoid of Atzma, Hashem came in. There was clear, enormous revelation. There was Moira Godel, there was Isis, there was Moisim. This was the revelation of the creator of the universe. This was the complete glory of Hashem being revealed. And within that, we're meant to hear the fact that there's 10 different expressions, of course, corresponds to 10 makos. But the point is that we're meant to see those makos as expressing the overt theme of the pasuk, which is Gilui Shechina. That's the theme we're meant to pick up on. We were Vanitzak El Hashem, we cried out, and because we did that, everything opened up. And the Kavod of Hashem came into the world. And this is where I think we mentioned it once here before, and I'm sure you've heard it many times, but the Sfas Emes brings, based on the Zohar Kodesh, the concept that the makos themselves decreate, if you like. They undo. They're the inverse processes of creation. Because Ba'asorim Amoris Nivra Olam, with 10 sayings Hashem builds a world. And with 10 makos, He destroys it. He undoes the world. And then with Aseres Adibros, we reconstruct the world. And what Sfas Emes is Meramethi, he actually says it in a number of places, although he only hints, shows a few little glimpses of where this goes. But he shows us that actually what happens is this, is that Hashem builds a world, so he first puts Bereshis and Ami Amai, he first puts Bereshis into the world, then he creates light, and then he creates in two different steps the place of man to live in the world, and then the sun does all the different stages. And in Mitzrayim, he undoes it in reverse order. He goes backwards and he rips away each mama of my separations, each law that governs and restricts creation that had been defiled and contaminated in Mitzrayim is torn apart. And you could think about, there's many different cheshbonis because it depends exactly how you line up the Asara Mamaris, but you could think about it like this, that the very last thing that we're told in my separations is the Pur Ravu Milo Asaretz, right? The concept of man multiplying, giving lots of life, and the very first Makkah takes the source of life and it turns it into death, it becomes down. And the second last thing in Maisa Bereishis is that there'll be Moira, there'll be sort of a fear that animals will have of man, and that's undone in Sfardea. The frogs are no longer, the boundary's been broken. And the third last thing in Maisa Bereishis is that the Ofer Min Adama is turned into man. And the third Makkah takes Ofer Min Adama and attacks and destroys man. Right? And this is how it goes. The fourth and last thing in my Sabrashis is the Laminehu of the world of animals. And Orev comes and undoes that. Everything becomes Erbubya, and so now there's no boundary of Chayas and the Behemoths, and everything is destroyed. Right, and then the one before that is actual creation of animal life itself, and the Makkah after that is Deva, which destroys animal, and so it goes through. The one before that is the Galgalachama, which brings Refuah to the world, and instead the Shechin go up to the Shemaim and come down and create an inhospitable world, destroy us in the heat of it. And that's exactly what is moving step by step. All the way through. And so that we get to the point, and of course after that comes the before that was Tadshar, Totzer, the land actually producing Esav, producing Dashes, right, all the different plant species, and that's destroyed in Borod. And before that was the creation of a place where man can live in this world, Vateroi Hayabosha, the revelation of, and that's all undone in Arba. The world is no longer hospitable. And it's the Wimachasa, the Ein Ha'aretz, right? It's all undone. And before that you have the creation of Yehi Or, and in Mitzrayim you have Choshech. And then finally comes the moment where Bereshis Nami Mama, Bereshis itself, is going to be torn to pieces, and every Reshis in Mitzrayim will be destroyed. And at that moment comes the chance of a B'nei B'chayri Yisrael, something new, that all the rules of Bereshis that say Avraham can't exist, Yisrael can't exist, they're all torn apart, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chavodoy U'V'atzma is here, and can lift us above all the laws, and all the limits, and all the things that could stop us existing, above everything, and that's where we start to exist. And that becomes what we try to meet on Leila Seder. And that, of course, we're going to relive on Leila Seder, because Halach Ma'anya Diachla Abbasana Barad Mitzrayim, we're reliving the last night in Egypt. And as we travel through, and we go through Leila Seder, and we finally get to that moment, which we actually meet at Shvei Chamascha, we open the doors, the moment of Makkas Bechoros, that we actually relive at that moment of Chatzos that we meet in Leila Seder, we ourselves are now ready for this journey. We're moving to the point where we're ready to relive the journey and remake the journey and reignite that inner creation that took place at Yetzias Mitzrayim when everything else had been decreated and undone. And here we are ready to be born as something that can be lifted to the highest, the greatest of the heights. The only thing that's been holding us back, and the only thing that can hold us back on Leila Seder, is the extent to which we are Shoyel Umavakesh it. Which is why we spend the whole first part of that God developing us into seekers and searchers, because that is what's going to allow us into the Yetzias Mitzrayim that we can re-experience. We're very short on time. Obviously, we still haven't got to the parts of that God that finally begin to answer the Manishtana questions, and obviously, we have to see how the transformation of the pasuk of Bavur Zal Hashem leave the Tzeisi Mitzrayim, which in the beginning was an attack and a provocation to the outsiders, becomes our own journey, and how the food that was there to create questions in the beginning becomes a part of Halal. All that I think we'll have to see next time. Yes, Hashem.